actually back to the Hilchos Shabbos?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You're Yeshua. You are.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Yes. This year is dedicated in the memory of my father, Enoch Haparat Mishkavot, Tzvi Meir ben Moshe Yonatan. All the words of Torah we say should be to his elevation of his memory. And, of course, all the jokes and Narishkeit should not. Gentlemen, we are now in the middle of the Sphira period, which should have been happy. As to why it's not happy, we'll deal with another time. But I will just say that, indeed, one of the things we're mourning for at this period of time, which should have been a very happy time, is the fact that not only did Rabbi Akiva's students die, but according to the Gemara, why did they die? They didn't show respect to one to another. In other words, they didn't respect each other's opinions. And therefore, it's interesting that we have this period of mourning, and within this period of mourning, we have a difference of opinion, and many people don't respect the other opinion. So I'm going to present today an opinion about shaving during Sfira, and I'm sure that many people listening, and even people around this table will say, I don't agree, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Which is fine, because that's indeed what Jews usually do. However, keep in mind that we are in the period of mourning for the students of Rabbi Akiva, who did exactly that. And unfortunately, their punishment was rather severe. So I would listen, and everyone has a right to disagree, but disagree with dignity and respect. Now, the question I have is a very simple one. You look around the streets on Sfira, and you see the following. Certain people don't shave. Certain people only shave for Shabbos. Certain people shave every day. Usually you don't find that in other periods of mourning, at least in Israel. For example, during the 9 days, it's almost clear-cut that all the Ashkenazic Jews don't shave. However, when it comes to Sfira, you have all three. Shave every day, shave only for Shabbos, or don't shave at all. And the question is why? And I'd like to explain today my opinion, which I got from my own Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, which at the end of the shiur, we'll basically try to argue that shaving for Shabbos is not a heter, but rather a chiyuv. It is not a leniency, because you're scratchy, but rather it's an actual obligation. Yes?
I wrote these things in Menhagim, and therefore...
Let's see. Here, right away, Bruce says, wait a minute, there's so many different things out there. Shave, don't shave. It must be a minhag. So that's what? He's right. Look at the top of the source sheet. The first source we find about Sfira is from the Ritz Geat. Who's the Ritz Geat? He was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father. So you understand, Rebbe of the Rambam's father. The Rambam speaks about him with superlatives. I should only be so lucky that I'll get to be said about my own eulogy. This man writes, Uminhag. Good guess, Bruce. Bechol Yisrael, you didn't look at the sheet before. Uminhag bechol Yisrael, the custom is in all the Jewish people, shelo lisa ben Pesach la'atzeret u'mishum avilutu. It's a minhag not to get married between Pesach to Shavuos, and it's because of mourning. Velo mishum iser, it's not an iser, namely it's not a din derabanan of Usser, but rather, it's rather a minhag, because our sages said that 12,000 groups of students died between Pesach and Atzeret, and those are the Talmidim Umar de Akiva. And indeed, it's a minhag because of that, not to get married. What doesn't the Ritz Geat talk about?
Shaving
and haircuts. Doesn't mention it. The Beis Yosef, who quotes the Ritz Geat, don't think I got to it by myself, says, it's a minhag all the way back from the Gaonim, which are before the Rishonim. And he writes the source, V'chen katav Rabbeinu Yerucham, one of the Rishonim. So, stage one is, Rabbi Akiva's students dies, we don't get married during this period of time. That's it. And it's a minhag. Stage two, look at the tour. Who was the tour? Now we fast forward in history. If the Ritz Geat was the Rambam's father's teacher, then who's the tour?
Son of the Rosh
writes, Nohagim b'chol ha-mekomot. Just like the Ritz Geat said, Minhag b'chol Yisrael. All the Jewish people have the minhag. Shelo yisai shab ben Pesach la'atzeret, v'adhamu shelo l'arbot b'simcha, shebo toz man, metu tamidei Rabbi Akiva. And the reason is, in order not to increase our simcha at this time because of the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. And he quotes the Ritzkeiat, that dafka, it's marriage, but if someone actually went ahead and just gave a ring to a woman, it's okay. And if a guy gets married, then the marriage obviously is valid because it's only a minuk. And the Beis Yosef says, ken katav harin shuab, and he brings the source. Now, question number one. Does anyone see something in the Torah that's not written in the Ritzkeiat?
Any word?
Any words? The Ritzkeiat talked about marriage. Look at the end of the Torah. Yesh mekomot, and there are places, shalot lihistapra, not to get what? Haircuts, shaving, haircuts and shaving. First of all, he adds it in. So we understand that the minhag all over was not to get married. But only some places, says the Torah, had this minhag not to have haircut, shaving, or both. Stage one. Everyone remember that. It is not a all-around minhag of all the Jewish people, but rather, it is some places. Meaning it's not like taking in a Rava and Hoshana Rabba and clapping it on the floor. That's Bechol HaMekomot. Here it says, Yesh Mekomot. And it's not in the Ritzkeiat, it's later on. So obviously it's a much later minhag than from the Khan to the Gaon.
And when he says some places, he doesn't say where.
He doesn't say where.
He's writing his party in Spain, though.
So first of all, remember, it's some places. Marriage all over, haircut, shaving, some places. Number two, what does tisforet mean? When you see the word tisforet, in modern Hebrew it means haircut. In halachic Hebrew, what does it mean? So as you know, we have the tractates of the Talmud called Masechtas. And then we have small tractates called Masechtot Ktanot. They're not really part of the Gemara. They're what we call quasi-Gemaras. And one of them is called Masechet Smachot. Literally, the tractate of happiness. And what do you think the tractate of happiness deals with? Sadness. That's the way it goes. Moed Katan, it starts with Chol HaMoed. That's a Moed Katan. And it goes into all the laws of Avelus. So when you say Smachot, it's Salashon Sagina Hor. It means the opposite. Many times in Halacha we have that. Correct, Bruce? What do you call the Kiddush Shabbos morning? Kiddush Rabba, big Kiddush. Why? Because it's small. What do you call Bet Sivan? Aleph Sivan's Rosh Chodesh. Gimel Sivan through Hey Sivan is Shloshet Yemei Hagbalah before Shavuot. Beit Sivan is called Yom Miyuchas, the day of Yichus. Why? Because nothing happened that day. So many times in Halacha we have this, we say the opposite. So Masechet Smachot deals with sad things. In Masechet Smachot it says, Shoshim Yom Le'ibul. When a person, someone's father or mother or one of his relatives dies, he has 30 days of mourning. Shloshim yom tisforet. Amongst them is tisforet. Let tisforet keitzad. What does this word tisforet mean? What does the source say? Asur benitilat seya. You can't pluck a hair from your body. Echad rosho, hair from your head. If you still have hair on your head, this is relevant. Echad sfamo, your mustache, echad skano, your face, echad kol sear shebo. You want to pluck a hair from your hand? Also asur. So according to this, during shloshim, tisforet means shaving and haircut. The Rambam codifies this lahalacha. Keshem shasur legaleach sear roshol, says the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, kachasur legaleach sear skano v'chol sear sheyesh bo. So in halacha, when we have one precedent of shaving, it means every single hair in your body. By the way, do we have a precedent before Avelus? See, Avelus, the first day may be Do'oraisa, but according to many Rishonim, after the first day, it's the Rabbanon. Do we have another Do'oraisa where a person can't shave? Let's say a guy comes into shul with long hair, he puts on tefillin. Many Jews say it's not right for a person to have long hair if he's a male. He says, what's the big deal? So the firm answer is tefillin. Chatzitza, tefillin. If that answer is correct, we'll leave that for another time, but that's the firm answer. Who can have long hair?
Nazir.
A nazir is allowed to shave.
No.
It says, Gadel Peres Se'ar Rosho. He does talk about the head. But again, as far as I know, I didn't learn Hilchos Nazir before this year, and everyone's well welcome to correct me. Also not, we have a precedent in Halacha, Din D'Rabbanan or Din D'Oraisa, and Avil Ol Shloshim cannot shave nor haircut. Now, when you go from a din derabbanan to a custom, and the custom is tisporet, do we take the din derabbanan and say, okay, it applies to a custom? Or do we say no? Anytime you have a custom, do you go by a rule, or do you go by what the Jewish people did? So let's take a precedent of a custom. What is the custom that everyone suffered from last week? Kitniot. Around this table, we all suffered from not eating rice and hummus. So, if you have a custom of kitniot, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I want to know if peanuts is included in kitniot. So he says, look, what do we do in Dinei Derabanan? We take a rule, and we plug it into many different areas that meet the rule. For example, there's a rule, Kvod HaBriot. A person's in the street, it's on Shabbos, he notices that his tits is a puzzle, he doesn't have to take them off and walk around naked, he can wait till he gets home and takes them off. Bichum Kvod HaBriot. What's Kvod HaBriot? Dignity of the individual. The more common case in the Gemara is, I'm sure you've all been in this situation, excuse the example, you go into the bathroom, there's no cut toilet paper, you're allowed to cut toilet paper, Mishum Kvod HaBriot. Now, do we take that and plug it in only to those two cases? Or do we say, no, there's 15,000 other cases like it? The answer is, in a din in derabanan, that's what we do. If there's a din derabanan, whatever it might be, we plug it into all cases. Muktzeh. We plug it into 15,000 cases. Now, when you come to a minhag, do you plug it in? You say, okay, the rule is tisporet, let's plug it into everything? Or do you say, no, mashe nahagu nahagu, mashe lo nahagu lo nahagu. So when it comes to kitnia, we have a machlokas Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank on the right side of the page says, well, what are the reasons for kitniot? One reason is mishum chiluf. Because kitniot flour looks like real flour, you may get it mixed up. Second reason, mishum tarovet shekashelev aviram. Rather, it's not because of flour, but because inside the kitniot you can find wheat. And then you cook the wheat and you're cooking chametz on Pesach. Well, let's see if this applies to peanuts. Yes, yes, no, no. The funny answer of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank for another time is it doesn't apply to kitniot, to peanuts, because both these reasons are irrelevant, but we still don't need them. As to why he said that, I don't know. Comes Rav Moshe Feinstein, disagrees. V'inyan peanut. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, V'inyan peanut. This is what I say. And I quote, when it comes to minhagim, the question is very simple. What did the Jewish people do? What did the Jewish people not do? What did the Jewish people eat? What did the Jewish people not eat? Whatever there was, it was, and that's it. There's no rule that you plug into every case that's similar. There's mashe nahagu nahagu. So at the time of kitniot, there was what? Chickpeas, perhaps. Soy, perhaps. There was no peanuts. Therefore, peanuts is not included. And peanut oil is absolutely fine. So, when you have a minhag, the question is, do you treat it like a din derabanan and just say, okay, it's a rule, let's plug it in? Or, no. Minhag means, whatever is the custom, that's the custom. And nothing more. So here's the question. Now we have a minhag. Aveus. It's a minhag. We've established. Part of the minhag, later on in some mekomot, is tisporet. So according to the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank school of thought, what do we do? Well, what do we do with the minhag? Let's take a halachic precedent, plug it in, and what do you got?
Extended the shame.
Actually not. Turn the page. If you take the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank point of view, and this is the point of view of Rav Soloveitchik, this is what you do. You can't just have a minhag avelus. A minhag avelus has to be based on a halachic precedent. Right? Kitniot was based on, according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, worrying about chametz. So when we worry about chametz, we worried about chametz. That's the rule. So we have a minhag avelus. So what kind of avelus do we have? Let's go through it. We have Shiva, we have Shloshim, and we have the 12 months of mourning. Correct? Those are the three categories. Pesachas Mois Katan, again, play on words, small holiday, talks about a lot of dinim of avelos. By the way, you know why? Because it was Xeret Chachamim not to shave on Chol HaMoed. If we're already talking about not shaving, let's talk about not shaving of another. If we're already talking about that, let's talk about everything that has to do with Hilchos Avelos and woo, royal mouthful right there. So on Mois Katan it says, HaKol HaMetim Kulam Mistaper L'Achar Shoshim Yom, Al Aviv Alimo, Achi Garbu Bo Chavirav. So for any relative you're mourning for, after 30 days you can shave. But for my father and a mother, you have to wait till someone says you look repulsive and ugly and disgusting, and only then could you shave. It was very interesting. When I was in Avelus, Lo Aleinu, there were many people that volunteered to do that. The mamish came up, can we volunteer to tell you you're ugly tomorrow? We'd like the kavod. We even bid for it. I thought I'd make a lot of money. I bid for it. Okay, how much do you want to tell me I look terrible? The Shulchan Aruch Paskin says, Lahalacha, you have to wait till people say that you look ugly. So comes along Rav Soloveitchik, quoted by Rav Shechter and Nefesh HaRav, and says, Hayasav Worshe Mutal Lihitgaleach, shave. B'yemei HaSfira, Leilu HaMitgalchim Kol Yom, Shemachar Shedin Zmanim Eilu Shave Laviluta Yud Bet Chodesh. Uve Yud Bet Chodesh, Tahanoheg Litgaleach B'chol Yom, Mamtim Tzat Litgaleach, Lesek Far Mikre, Shir Gara. So let me ask you a question. After you finished your 30 days, and someone says you look ugly, and you shaved, how long does it take till you look ugly again?
Next morning.
So comes Rav Soloveitchik and says, you can just have a minhug. You have a minhag, that's nothing. A minhag has to be put into a halachic precedent. So what's the halachic precedent? Avelus of Yud Bet Chodesh. It can't be shloshim, because if it would have been shloshim, then during Sfira you couldn't wear freshly laundered clothing and many other things. You couldn't cut your nails. Many other things. We don't have that. So what is Sfira like? So Rav Soloveitchik says, what are the two Isurim of Sfira? All the places not to get married, and some sort of haircut thing. Says Rav Soloveitchik. That's like Yud Bet Chodesh. So what happens in Yud Bet Chodesh? The minute you look ugly, you're allowed to shave. So a person that shaves every day, he looks ugly the next day, so he's allowed to shave every single day on Sfira. Comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's the other school of thought, and he says, no, a minhag is mashenagu. So he looks around and he says, I was in Lithuania and White Russia and in America. What was the minhag? I don't care what the halachic precedent is. What did the people do? And the answer is, the people also didn't take a haircut and not shave. And thus, Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins. And I quote, Im echad osek ve'ezem mischar lamelacha, she'im lo yistaper etz kano b'yemei ha'sfira b'yemei she'ben yudzayin betamos otet ba'av yelo hefset mamon. If a person, either during Sfira, during the 3 weeks, if he doesn't shave, he's going to lose a job. He's going for a job interview, or for some reason he has to look clean-shaven, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, az mutar, then he's allowed to. Which means that if there's no good reason, you can't. Why? Said the minhag didn't apply if you're going to lose money for it. But if you're not going to lose money for it, the minhag is no shaving at all. No shaving at all sounds like shloshim. But Rav Moshe Fein says, forget about what it sounds like. I don't care what it sounds like. I'm closing my ears. I want to look, what does the people do? The people don't shave? That's it. They go by minhag. Minhag means mashenahagu. Rav Tzipech Sechfank says, no, create it like a din de rabbanon. Put it into a halachic category and deal with it. So Rav Soloveitchik said, I put it into a halachic category. Yud bet chodesh, you're allowed to shave every day because you look ugly after one day. Now, everyone should understand that therefore, how did Rav Moshe Feinstein read the Torah? The minhag is not to lihistaper. What did it mean? Haircut. You don't take a haircut every day. You don't look ugly if you didn't take a haircut one day. That's different. But shaving? Absolutely mutter. So this is a regular machloket. Now you can understand why some people shave every day and why some people only shave at the end of the Sfira period, because the question is, do you put it into a halachic category or do you say, I don't care what the halachic category is, mashe nahagu nahagu. Yeah.
Wouldn't you see that Moshe Feinstein would be seeing some shave and some don't shave? You're saying that he saw that people had some kanibah. We just read this many minhagim.
First of all, good question. Second of all, I think Rav Moshe Feinstein's vantage point was, what did he see in the community in which he functioned of people that really, truly reflected the minhagim of old, namely the minhagim he saw in Europe? It could have been what he saw in America but European Jews, or what he saw back in White Russia. Well, that's an ongoing machlokas. Now, having said that, putting that aside, that's in the draw, as we say, Rav Soloveitchik said you can shave every day. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said no. What about Shabbos? Does the honor of Shabbos trump a minhag? So everybody here knows that...
Trump.
No politics. It is a word in English before the President of the United States came. Quite frankly, gentlemen, the question is a simple one. When you have a minhag, a good custom, and then comes the honor of Shabbos, does the minhag override the honor of Shabbos?
It shouldn't. One is a deraita, and one is a...
First of all, it's not a deraita. Kvod Shabbos is derabanan. Well, one is a minhag. Kvod Shabbos means getting ready for Shabbos, cleaning the house, washing the rug. And I'm sure anyone here that shaves every day will shave in honor of Shabbos, right? So do we have a precedent in halacha where people shaved in honor of Shabbos? The answer is yes. Anshe mishvah v'anshe maimad. The people in the Beis HaMikdash were on call, either to do the work in the Beis HaMikdash or to daven that the korbanos would be find favor in the eyes of God. Asurim l'saper v'lechabes, not allowed to take haircuts, not allowed to wash their clothing. They have to totally concentrate on what they're doing. Uvachamishi, but on Thursday, mutarin. Why? Mipnei kvod haShabbat, because of the honor of Shabbos. My time, Amar Rabbi Bochana, Rabbi Yochanan, kedei shelo yikansu lamishmartam kishehen menuvalin. When they finally come into the Beis HaMikdash, we don't want them to come in looking like slobs. By the way, parentheses, this is the reason for not shaving during Chol HaMoed. We didn't want people to say, Chol HaMoed, I'm off, I'll have plenty of time to shave, take a haircut. So they come into the night of the Seder, where there's so much to do, cleaning the house, getting ready the Seder plate, and they look like slobs. First day Chol HaMoed, oh, now I got time. So between saying Lashon Hara V'chilus and doing everything else, I'm going to shave at leisure. I'll take a nice haircut. Chachamim said, no, you have to come into Yantav dressed handsome. So what did they do? They said, you can't shave during Chol HaMoed. Now, I'm not going to talk about that now. That's a whole nother shir. Does that apply today? Because what happens is, it comes the opposite. People come into Yantav night, but then during Chol HaMoed, they look like slobs. But here you see it. You can't come in to the Beis HaMikdash looking like a slob if indeed it's an Erev Shabbos.
Is there any point to say that Jews have beards and shaving itself is a Goyish custom?
Yes, there is many books written on that. It was never convinced me. Okay, everyone here heard of the Maharal? Me Prague? Everyone here heard of the, excuse me, the Mesilat Yesharim? Yeah. The Mesilat Yesharim. Mesilat Yesharim had a clean shaven face.
And what?
When you try to explain to me if it's usher to shave and a Jew should have a beard, why the Mesilat Yesharim had a clean shaven face, I'll believe all the books that say, you know, I'm out of shape. Until then,
very thin
I'm not there. Okay. Shabbat Shechal Tisha B'Av Liyot B'Tocha. Now we're already getting back to Arle. Shabbat Shetisha B'Av Chal Yot B'Shva. Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av Des Bin Hagei Avelus. Right? Dini HaAvelus, as a matter of fact, is in the Gemara. Asur Min L'Saper Man L'Chabes U'V'Chamishim Mutarim B'Fnik Fod HaShabbat. So, the week of Tisha B'Av, you can't take a shave and you take a haircut, but you'll have to on Thursday. Comes the Beis Yosef and says, V'chatvu atayisvos, v'dvar temo hulati l'chapes v'saper b'yom tisha b'av atzmo. So let's say Tisha B'Av comes out on Thursday. This will be nice. All week you can't shave, you can't take a haircut, because Tisha B'Av is that week. But on Thursday, the actual day of Tisha B'Av, if you get up from the floor, you can. Why? Because it's Thursday. So the Tosfos says it can't be. Hilchachem nismoch ala raza. The Gemara is talking about a taste where Tisha B'Av didn't come out on Thursday. It came out, let's say, on Shabbos. It came out and whatever, and therefore, we're not talking about that. But, no question that if it wasn't Tisha B'Av itself, the Tosfos would say, yeah, be allowed it for the Shabbos. Rashi says, Imchal Tisha B'Av Erev Shabbos, mutarim melechapes b'chamishi. If Tisha B'Av comes out Erev Shabbos, you'll have it indeed. Launder your clothing for Shabbos, but you can't shave. Comes along the Tosfos and says, yes, you can shave. So here we have a precedent, seems like Pshat Gemara, both with regard to the Anshei Mishmar and with regard to Tisha B'Av, that is very important to keep Avelus, but in a real McCoy, Dinder Abanan of Shavua Shechalbo, what trumps it? Kvot Shabbos. So Kvot Shabbos can trump a Din Derabanan. Now take it back to Sphira. Sphira Din Derabanan. No, it's a minhag. So kal v'chomer, it would trump it, because it's just a minhag. And in order to prove my point, let's see the last source on the page. The Mishnah Berurah, which usually piles on chumras. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? With regard to Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, excuse me, Shabbat Chazon. Shabbat Chazon, that's the Shabbos where you sing Lecha Dodi to the very solemn and sad tune of Eli Tzion. That's the Shabbos where the Ramah says don't exactly wear Shabbos clothes. That's the Shabbos where they say if you take a shower for Shabbos, take a shower very quickly and get out. That Shabbos! Can you shave? Can you take a haircut? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Aval b'tispor dafilu l'chvot Shabbat? No! Why? What's his reason? Because people don't take a haircut every week. Gentlemen, now let's take the same Mishnah Berurah. Aval b'tisporet. We're not talking about haircuts now, we're talking about shaving. What would the Mishnah Berurah say? Of course you're allowed. Why? Can you do it every week? So, gentlemen, in my humble opinion, A. Because Sphira is just a minhag, according to Rav Soloveitchik, if you plug it in to the minhagim world, you have to plug it into a halachic precedent, it's like Yud Bet Chodesh, you're allowed to shave every single day. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees. So that's all weak, everyone can do what they want. With regard to the honor of Shabbos, I think I just proved that because we know that it overrides even a din derabanan, then Kol Shekena would override her minhag. And my proof positive is the words of the Mishnah Berurah, that even if you disagree, no, it doesn't override it. Quite frankly, comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, if this is what you do every week in honor of Shabbos, you're allowed to. So haircut off limits, but shaving, in my opinion, is not a heter. It's a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv in honor of Shabbos.
Music.
There is absolutely, unequivocally, no source in the Rishonim or in the Achronim to not listen to music during Sfira. The closest you get is the Magen Avraham that says that you're not allowed to dance during Sfira, or to be more precise, put on music that makes you dance. Something along those lines. From here derived by Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yosef, don't listen to music. And if you read their tshuva and you look for sources, I don't find any sources. None. But somehow that kicked in. That kicked in. People that shave every day don't listen to music. That kicked in. I don't know why. You want to know what my opinion is? You're allowed to listen to music when you are in the car. You're allowed to listen to music when you wash the floors. When you exercise, it's fine. Which music can't you listen to? The music. You want to be machmir that will make you get up and start dancing to the rhythm. That music you can't listen to. And obviously a live concert and whatnot. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Next week, too,
on time, yeah. Hey, music is the main thing.